thank you for being a Bump2 subscriber. In the second half of this podcast, Tama and I discuss the evolution of her faith, which she says was inspired by raw terror, the power of greater consciousness in crafting our lives, and where we go from here. Finding faith and a sense of spirituality is a theme that comes up in your book, too. What was the evolution of faith in your life?
That's an interesting question. Well, first of all, pure desperate freaking need is always a good motivation. Pure raw terror is a really good motivation. And, you know, and the other thing I always think is just on a completely logical linear level, just completely logical level, because I have a logical mind, I started realizing, you know, I can use this powerhouse mind of mine to freak myself out. And I've been doing that for a while. I'm not loving how that feels. Or I can start using this powerhouse mind to start believing in something else, right? So that's just on a logical level. But when you said, how did the evolution happen? I'll say a few things. One, I think that it really happened when I first left law, because it was like I was off the grid now. I was off the track now. And it was like I'd found faith before in my business card, in my sexy title, in my sexy suit, in the, you know, bank account. That was my faith, was all that. When all of that's stripped from you and you don't have that, you have to find faith in something else. And for me personally, I think what really opened me up was I didn't necessarily believe in religion. Like I said, I come from the Jewish religion. Nothing against any religion. It just didn't make me feel connected. But what did was when I started following something I loved, and for me it was writing, when I started following something I loved, it felt like I tapped something bigger. Like when I was writing and I felt larger or inspired, I had this thought like, maybe this is what people mean when they think of God. You know, this bigger feeling, this alive feeling, this connectedness. Maybe this is what people are talking about when they're thinking about God or spirituality. And so that opened me up. And then, like I said, just being in so much pain, I just devoured all kinds of, you know, self-help books or spiritual books, just looking for something that would land for me. And I had a boyfriend at the time that showed me The Course in Miracles, which is a spiritual, it's a book. And I looked at it and I said, this is my openness to spirituality. I said, get that crap away from me. That was basically what I said, get that crap away from me. And so he was smart. And he started teaching me some of the concepts without telling me what it was. And I'd be like, oh my God, that's amazing. That's really good. And he'd say, well, it's in that blue book you won't look at. And so I had told him, you know what? I'm going to read that book now like an attorney. I'm going to read it line by line. I'm going to show you how stupid it is. And then you can never talk to me about it again. And I've been reading it ever since. I've been now teaching it for 30 years. I teach online and live also, because it's a mind training program. It's really about accessing a different part of your mind. But to answer your question about faith, I think that when you need it enough, you'll open your mind, and that is the gift of uncertainty. Is that when we're finally stripped away of all our usual habits, all our usual coping, all our usual things that we know, we might start experimenting. You know, all of my answers came in bizarre directions and things I would not consciously have chosen, and yet speak to me, speak to a different part of me, awaken a different part of me. And I think that's what this journey is about. Being more open and being like that, you know, we discover who we really are by following what we want. By following what we really want, that's where we discover who we are. And most of us have so many capacities, and we don't even know them. We don't tap them because we're trying so hard to fit in to an image or an identity or story that we think is us.
Yeah, one of the things you mentioned too is that your spirit craves growth. And I totally agree, but growth comes with risk, obviously. That is so hard for most people to live in uncertainty or take risk. How proportionately, to the population, how many people do you think actually are willing to take these sorts of risks?
Well, first of all, I do want to clarify, I am never, ever saying that somebody should just walk out of a career or walk out of a marriage or jump off or whatever. You know, for me, following an inner voice is a very nuanced prescription, and each of us is completely different, right? And so risk, right, could be very different. It might not be walking out of a career. It might be staying there and growing. It may be speaking up. I mean, so again, I never want people to think that, oh God, I couldn't do what she did. And it's like, you're not supposed to do what she did.
You're supposed to do what you need to do.
Exactly. So I do want to clarify that. And to your point, I don't think there are the adrenaline people out there that love risk, and there are people who jump and, you know, and do that. I think most of us, I don't think we're evolutionarily guided to take risk, right? We're guided to stay safe, you know, don't attract the woolly mammoth, you know, it's just of, but I think life has a way of working with us, because I would not have ever, you know, consciously taken this risk, but the circumstances got unhappier and unhappier and unhappier and unhappier. And it wasn't as much of a risk anymore, you know, and what people don't realize is that sometimes you're risking more by not listening to yourself. That I have so many clients or people I meet in seminars and workshops that, you know, don't listen and don't listen, and then get a disease. Don't listen and don't listen, and then they're dying of stress. You know, don't listen and don't listen, and then their marriages fall apart. You know, so I wanted to share with you just a few lines I had mentioned to you of, because it's exactly what we're talking about here, and it's this is from Thriving Through Uncertainty, and it's one of my favorite quotes in it. I thought I'd just quote my own book now. What the hell? My God, I'm wonderful. No. You may feel like things are challenging at this moment in your life, but let's get this straight right now. It's not because you're failing or broken. It's because your spirit demands soaring, not coping. It's your time. And it's exactly what we're talking about, is that when life starts faltering, or things are feeling like you're falling apart, or you feel like you're failing, it's often because we're trying to cope. We're trying to do what we've always done. And our spirit does demand soaring, not coping. It's like the poet Rumi said, why would you prefer to crawl when you've been given wings, right? And so that's what I think these times are for. We're learning to use our wings. And you know, at a certain point, it becomes more of a risk not to take certain risks. And for each of us, that's a personalized, you know, alchemized path that we'll be guided moment by moment. You know, I'm never saying just do it, make it happen. You'll know. You'll know when it's right for you. And I'm very timid. I'm, you know, that's why I'm a great role model, is because I'm really timid, you know, and I do things in very small incremental ways often, but it works. And I've just learned to listen to my inner voice. And that's, again, what I would want for someone else.
Well, I think the key is being open to your inner voice, open to change and evolution. One of my favorite Einstein quotes is, I'm paraphrasing a bit, but you can't solve a problem with the same energy that created it.
Yes.
And I think that's so true. But to evolve to a different energy, a nonlinear energy, an energy of hope and possibility, takes time. It does not happen overnight for most of us.
You know, I love that quote. It's one of the things I use in many of my workshops and retreats, because it is almost like, for me, it's like the level of consciousness that creates the problem is not the level of consciousness that can give birth to a solution. And we're talking about a creative, inspired journey. And so what I do and what I see is if I can get people focusing on fun and love and joy and laughter and being honest and feeling and connected, all of a sudden, and people fight this because it's like, well, how am I going to get answers? I need answers. I need answers. But you're studying the problem. You're studying the problem. I want to study the love. I want to study what lights you up. I want to study your energy, where your energy starts sparking. Because what happens is when we're in different energy, we're relaxed, we're open-hearted, we're more in our energy, we have different solutions. We have different capacities. Our brain chemistry is literally different. Well, it's almost like how you can suddenly remember a dream you had, you know, that you didn't remember, but in a certain state-bound awareness, you'll remember it. I've had people at retreats, literally, not only nighttime dreams, but I literally had people at retreats that suddenly remembered instincts they'd had as a child or instincts they'd had as a younger person that they completely buried or forgotten. But when they got into a certain energy or a certain way of being, it was right there. And those answers were right there for them. And so for me, that is really what that really is what encapsulates an inspired success rather than linear success, is that most of us, and in our world, I'm seeing that too. We're studying the problem. I think that if we study more of following energy, following what is working, following what does light up, following different creative solutions, we will tap capacities and creativity that can solve things in ways we cannot possibly imagine. We are only looking in the known ways. I always tell my clients that we're not here to make it in the world. We're never here to make it in the world. We're here to remake the world. We are here to remake the world with our creativity and our possibility and new solutions and new ways. And I deeply believe that's what's happening.
Oh, I would hope so. In your readings, you've probably read The Seat of the Soul, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I read some of it. I can't honestly say I read all of it. It was years ago. So
the only reason it comes up in my mind is the idea of energy. It's very based on the idea of the energy you put out comes back at you. And if you start looking at the world in terms of energy flows, it's a paradigm shift in terms of how you understand things.
Absolutely. It's a complete paradigm shift. It's, you know, I work with a lot of people who are, you know, finding their calling or doing their dreams or running a business or trying to get clients, right? And it's exactly that about energy because, for instance, in that example, you're trying to get clients, get things, get business, get, right? And the shift is always going to be, what are you giving? What are you giving?
Yes.
What are you here to give? How are you here to show up? How are you here to connect? And most times we think, yeah, but I won't get what I need that way. But it's absolutely not true. It's exactly what you said about those energy flows. When I show up in that giving energy of I am here to give something, it's a different energy. Things come different, you know, like people feel that. People feel when they're being, when you have grabby energy, right? When you're trying to get something from them. And so again, to live an inspired life, we are going to learn different technologies to do this. We're going to learn different habits and patterns to do this, to make this happen. And again, it goes against our training. You know, my linear ambitious mind went crazy. Like what? I have to give to people. When am I finally going to get mine? Right? You know, like my brain fights this all the time, but like what I always say in my work is let's try it and it's going to work. And that work is going to give you faith. You know, when you say, where does faith come from? For me, it's these tiny little experiments. You do them, it works. And that's what gives you faith.
If you could rewrite your personal story, would you?
Oh God. Ah, that's a hard question.
It's an impossible question. So any answer goes.
Yes. You know, I've thought about that a lot because I've thought about, oh my God, what if, you know, I went to Harvard Law School, right? And that's on the campus of Harvard, right? So it's like, I've thought like, what if I'd gone there and studied writing and made all those connections, you know, for something I'd loved? Or, you know, I've thought that a lot. Or, you know, But then, you know, there's something that's so perfect about my life, about having gone down this one track that didn't work. It's become my life's mission to help other people, right? And so that credential, that grand mistake or whatever is my credential. And so, you know, I guess I'd have to say right now that I wouldn't. God, I feel squeamish thing because, like, if the universe is listening, more money would be great. I don't know. You know, I think right now, I mean, there are certain things. I certainly would have liked to have risked more when I was young. You know, I was very much the good girl and following all the rules and doing what you're supposed to. And I wish I'd had more fun back then, but I'm doing it now.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path. Because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.